start. Ladies and gentlemen, it's November 5th, 2015, and this is the regular meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature. Would you please stand with me while we pledge allegiance to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May I have the roll call of members, please?
Mrs. Mepine Claiborne? Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Sigler? Mr. Stein?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
We have 11 members present.
We have quorum. Presentation of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
I'm going to take something. Maybe I'll call it a notice tonight. Since our last meeting, the voters in Tompkins County have participated in an election. And as you all know, we had two vacancies on our board, which were up to be filled during that election. I'm pleased to have the apparent winners of those two elections with us tonight, Anna Kellis and Rich John. I'm going to ask them to come up to the podium, if they would, please. Now, I just wanted to explain to everyone the reason they aren't seated with us yet, and that is because, although they are the apparent winners, the elections have not been certified by the Board of Elections. And until that happens, we cannot ask them to take their oaths of office and be seated and participate in the meetings. But I wanted everyone to know that they're going to hit the ground running here. They're both here interested in what we're doing. And if either of them wants to say anything, you're more than welcome, as long as it's not too long.
Just, I look forward to working with every single one of you and having individual conversations, getting to know you in and outside of the legislature. So thank you for your time, and I look forward to it.
Rich?
In the interest of a short meeting, I'll just say I'm looking forward to working with every one of you. Thanks.
Thank you. Can we have a round of applause? Thanks very much. We have a proclamation tonight, and this is having to do with our community foundation in Tompkins County, and I'd like to read it. It says, whereas the community foundations serve the people of Africa, Asia, Australia, Europe, and North and South America, proving to be a remarkably versatile and fast-growing form of philanthropy, and whereas the first community foundation in the U.S. was established 101 years ago in Cleveland, Ohio, and whereas Community Foundation of Tompkins County was incorporated May 4, 2000 by local leaders and is celebrating its 15th anniversary with growing financial resources to meet the changing needs of our communities in perpetuity. And whereas Community Foundation provides grants, knowledge, management, philanthropic education, and convening and catalyzing services for the benefit of our community. And whereas the Community Foundation has grown into a valuable partner in our local philanthropic landscape with a special focus on building a permanent charitable endowment. And whereas the Community Foundation contributes to solving problems, building community, and honoring the tradition and spirit of philanthropy in our community, and whereas the Community Foundation of Tompkins County adheres to national standards of principled behavior developed by the Council of Foundations and is a member of the New York Funders Alliance and the TC Funders Group, and whereas Community Foundation of Tompkins County celebrates its 15th year of service with assets of $14 million, having made 2,200 grants of more than $8 million since its inception. Now, therefore, I, Michael Lane, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim a celebration of its achievements in its 15th anniversary year, and do hereby proclaim Saturday, November 7th, 2015, as Community Foundation of Tompkins County Day in Tompkins County. And we have here tonight with us George Ferrari, who is the executive director. And George, I wonder if you could come up and accept the foundation proclamation.
Thank you for this honor. I think that folks around your meeting table know more than most that people in Tompkins County are a generous, engaged, energetic, and creative group of folks. And we really look forward to continuing our partnerships with individuals, with businesses, with government to help achieve our mission to improve the quality of life in Tompkins County by inspiring and supporting enduring philanthropy. This year, we've just passed a new record of grants just for an annual number of grants of $1.7 million. And we're so happy and excited that we're able to serve the community, serve individual donors, and make grants in arts and culture, the environment, education, health and human service, and sustainability. So thank you so much for this honor.
Thank you, George, and thanks for all the good work that your organization does for our community. We'll move to privilege of the floor, initially for the public. If there's anyone who wants to speak tonight, we need to have a blue card filled in. I have one at this point. If there's anyone else that wants it, please fill it in and pass it up. By signing the blue card and asking to speak, as our guest, you're agreeing to the three-minute time limit, which we allow. And we have a countdown clock to my left, which will show the time that has passed. And there, at the end of the time, there will be an audible signal. And at that time, we ask you to conclude. You agree not to raise your voice. You agree not to use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of peace. You agree not to speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about the job performance of named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, you agree to leave the microphone and yield the floor. And you agree that if you cause a disruption and are asked to leave, you will leave the chambers. So again, if anyone else wants to speak, please send up a blue card. But I have one tonight, and we'll open the floor to Faye Gugakis. Can I get you to that microphone there, Faye, please? Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I just realized the meeting was changed like 5 minutes ago, and I got dressed and dashed down here because I've been wanting to come here for quite some time about the drones, and I want to thank Julie Kiefer and Dan. I believe there was an article about you, and I want to thank you both for dealing with this issue, which I want to support you with because it's extremely important. It's not just drones that are killing people in so-called invasion zones, if you will, or war zones. I mean, it is out of control. The technology we're using today is out of control. I mean, when I was young, in my 20s, I was fighting against nuclear weapons. Okay, this is a different kind of surreal technology which is invading us through our personal lives all the way to, you know, technologies like drones. You know, I've come before you to talk about texting and driving so many times. Has the bicycle community or all the people that are being paid good money and good jobs with sustainability ever came to you about concern about these technologies? I mean, do you make the connection? I mean, you know, people are I just see someone right now. It's lit up in the dark in the car. They're texting. They're using a cell phone while driving. That's going to get pervasive. That's going to be built into the car. All sorts of things are being built in cars. So the thing is, I feel that we as a progressive community have to be the leaders in this. We're not leaders in texting and cell phone use. Absolutely not. And there's so many concerns with that, okay, which I'm not here to talk about that today. I've done that in the past. But the drone situation, I thank you for tackling it. We have to tackle it. We have to set the standard. I mean, do you understand what I'm trying to say? The technology, all the researchers, and I watch a lot of news and a lot of discussion show, 60 Minutes, what have you. And they're all saying this, that the technology is moving faster and that we can write laws about, that we can debate about. But at least in our sphere of the world, we can do something. We can set that example, okay? We can have that discussion. We can set some laws. Whatever we can do. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. It matters what we do here. Okay, we pride ourselves for being progressive, that hopefully, you know, having a vision of the future, you know, but you know, I'm seeing, you know, that a lot of Ithacans don't want to talk about certain things that are very, very important. It's okay to talk about fracking, but it's not okay to talk about a technology that you take out and you're using while you're driving, and then people talk about bike lanes, okay? And one last thing, I'm sorry, because I didn't stop myself
right.
At that topic,
please
is the consolidation,
up.
And all I will say with the police consolidation, tread very, very carefully, because that's a very important issue, and not to go quickly into consolidating the county and the city police right away. You really have to study that. Thank you very much for your time, and have a good evening.
Thank you, Faye. Is there anyone else that wanted to speak? I didn't receive any other blue card. Okay, then we'll move on. Privilege of the floor for municipal officials. Not seeing one. So we'll go to privilege of the floor for legislators. I have Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Michael. I want to say a few words about my former colleague, Nate Shinagawa. Nate came here, demonstrated knowledge, integrity, and an enormous amount of energy. He started out as a student activist and ended up here as a legislative activist. He was 22, roughly years old, when he came in here. Nate and I went to a first meeting before we were sworn in. We both came in the same time, and we both observed the old legislature 10 years ago. And pretty much I looked at him as somebody who'd spent 13 years in city government, and I said, do we really want to get involved in this? And he said yes. And so it was kind of an inspiration to me to, yeah, go and get sworn in and begin to be a county legislator. It's been a great time being here with him. I've won a few elections and lost a few. I lost an election in Collegetown over Collegetown development. And 13 years, someone ran against me, another Democrat. And, you know, I was on the wrong side of that and understood. I think it took about 20 minutes to figure out why my neighbors didn't want to vote for me. But the puzzling part of it was they didn't want students to come across the gorge, but they were all cashing Cornell University checks. And, you know, that became that was a funny issue for me. But at any rate, as Nate came here, he chaired the Health and Human Services Committee. He chaired the Public Safety Committee most recently, and also the Budget Committee at a very young age. When he was Health and Human Service Chair, he brought people from Bradford County, which was the heart of fracking at the time. Bradford County was inundated with fracking, gas drills, all kinds of things. And it's a very small, not very wealthy county, and they were overrun with all of this, and there were enormous problems that were caused by the influx of all the drillers and all the things that happened. Nate worked in the hospital and was familiar with all the local government officials, and actually brought people here to this county very early on and gave us information about what was happening. And it was an inspiration and also a sort of a guide for a lot of things that happened in this county. We ended up with an ordinance for highways, for trucks. I'm believing almost at that point anti-fracking was kind of born, or was in its infancy and got bigger and bigger as time went on. And he was the one who brought people into this county to talk about the effects on another county. One of his first acts here was the senior living facility up the hill was going out of business, and Nate was very young and but very involved and knowledgeable. He knew the right people to call. He got them involved, and he was able, he and many other people, local elected officials, were able to stem that tide and keep that place open. And that was clearly a huge issue that needed to happen, because that was pretty much where all the Medicaid patients would be in service in that facility. He chaired the budget committee. I read some of his literature, and when he was running against Anna, and it puzzled me. I didn't know he was a big tax cutter, but I guess he was. when you write campaign literature, you come up with those kinds of things. But I know I would if I were running for something, and I'm not, frankly. So I hope he remains involved in the city of Ithaca. If Savante Myrick decides there's a committee that he would be useful on, that he would maybe ask Nate to do that, I think he'd be a great volunteer for any of the city committees now that he's a resident and has been a resident for a very long time. So I'm hoping that, and let me, a more than personal note, he recently was married, and his life is kind of organized itself in a way. He had a lot to do with his younger brothers for a very long time, 2 or 3 years. That's kind of worked itself out. He's now married to a wonderful person, and I sometimes, as a county legislator, wake up in the morning and say, do I really want to drive to Ithaca again for another meeting? I count it up. I go over 100 meetings a year at this job, and it's, you know, it's great fun sometimes, and sometimes it's not. But I'm not certain that Nate might not be. Obviously, he's hurt from losing everyone. You get hurt when you lose. But when you wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go to my job, my wife will be here. When I come back, and whatever dogs I might have in the house will be here, or other pets, that's not a bad thing to look forward to. So.
Oh, Jim, sound like you were just writing my resignation speech. Don't tempt me.
Anyone else like to speak? I'm privileged to the floor. Leslie? Would you like to speak? Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, I do want to early enough say to my colleagues, on November 20th, we have a meeting in between. It's the annual GIAC Harvest Fest dinner, where staff and board members and volunteers, our very own Will, shows up often to cook and serve a very hearty harvest dinner to our community. It's free of charge. It's held at the Beverly J. Martin Elementary School gym. And we serve over 300 meals that night, so turkey and all the trimmings. So we do appreciate volunteer help. We do welcome you to come and fellowship with the members of the community who come to eat. Please come throughout the day to help, you know, strip turkeys and serve. If you're interested, please call, stop by GIAC, or call us at 272-3622. We're always looking for help. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. Martha Robertson.
Thanks for the stories, Jim. I would second all those sentiments about Nate, and it's too bad we didn't get really a chance to say goodbye to Kathy Luz Herrera, too, who, you know, we didn't even know she was actually leaving. So, and welcome to John, to Rich and Anna, and it'll be nice to have 14 again, to be able to, like, you know, lose a few and still have a majority on something. There have been a few nights when we've been a little worried about getting some passed. I just, before we get together again, will be the 200th birthday of Elizabeth Cady Stanton. She was born in Johnstown, New York, and spent a very critical about 7 years in Seneca Falls, just an hour from here. November 12th is her 200th birthday. That's a long time ago. And there's a celebration at the Seneca Falls Women's Rights National Historical Park, 4 o'clock. Saturday, November 14th. Anybody wants to go, I'm driving, I'll pile in, we'll carpool. But it's a special gathering. They call it the winter wheat gathering because you sow your wheat in the winter and it lies fallow, and then, you know, eventually, maybe a long time after you've sown it, it grows and flourishes, and you can harvest the fruits of your winter wheat. And that was sort of a thought that went through her writings. It took 72 years from the 1848 convention that was her inspiration, when they passed the Declaration of Sentiments, 72 years before women got the right to vote. That's really a long time to wait. So I just want folks to think about that. November 12th, a very important date when a New Yorker stood up for the civil rights for all of us. I mean, her activism got started with abolitionism, abolition of slavery. And the movements were very, very closely entwined. So it's a moment that I hope you'll see something about in the press, because we need to mark the occasion. So I wanted you to know about it. Thanks.
Will's next, then Leslie.
Thank you, Mike. And Jim, thank you for those words about Nate. I did not serve with him as long as you, but I was always impressed by the intelligence that he brought to anything he was talking about, and the sense of humor, and you know, I truly will miss having him on this body. That being said, it's also, I'm looking forward to having some new people. You know, all of us spend a lot of time in this room talking with each other. We know each other's sort of speech patterns and stories and whatever, and just the chance of having some new folks, you know, at least will change the dynamic a little bit. I noticed that Rich seemed to have left, so
his son's 17th birthday.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't that he had I was having
Bored
second thoughts. As some of you know, I was in Chicago for a couple weeks. So my daughter's having a son. And while I was there, the police were also, police captains from all around the country were gathering at the convention center. And that's why President Obama flew in for the night. But one of the things they had a massive trade show, and they were talking about body cameras and the variety from the different companies. And I just happened to catch a report on NPR talking about significant differences within the competing systems and the way they will affect the way they're used. And I'm going to send out the link. But one of the key features, for example, that some cameras have, others don't, is the ability to look at what has just been recorded and for somebody, say an officer, to review and see, essentially edit something right on the spot. Some cameras allow that, others do not. I know the city has just gone forth with, I guess, the taser system, and we were hoping to be in sync with that, but I think we really should be paying some attention to the specific features, and I will send that link out to that story.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Leslie?
Thank you for a second bite of the apple, Mr. Chair. And
nobody else had their hand up, so I'm letting
I did. And Jim, do thank you very much for the words about Nathan and Martha for mentioning Kathy, and you're right. We didn't have an opportunity to say goodbye to Kathy properly. I mean, Kathy definitely served with a lot of valor on this body and trueness to her convictions. You know, family is important to Kathy, and I don't know if you all are aware that, you know, Kathy spent a lot of time out of town, you know, taking care of family and dealing with family matters, and her brother, who was extremely ill, just recently passed. Actually, I think just last week. It would have been just last week, and I'm very thankful, and I know she is, that she could be there by his side, because that was extremely important to her. So we do want to say thank you to Kathy as well for that. You know, the city of Ithaca did roll out their body cameras. It was nice. I saw the police chief wearing his. We were at a meeting on Monday. And so it would be really interesting to hear how those are working out. So I do hope that we stay tuned. But more importantly, I wanted to voice my sentiments in saying thank you to Nate and Kathy. I mean,
you know, I came on board with those guys as well. And I remember Nate coming out, and I was feeling kind of jealous because I was no longer the youngest person on the legislature. It's like, where did this young guy come from? But he brought a lot of wisdom beyond his years, and we're very thankful for their service.
I'll catch you, Carol, but I just wanted to say to Glenn that you've been here all of 9 months, and you're already old hat. Carol Chuck.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to raise my hand and join what they said. I think that it is unusual for us not to have a chance to say goodbye to people in person, and maybe there's something that we could do to send a letter or a card for thanks for service or a certificate of some kind. And I will say that I... I will miss both of them in the fire that they both and each had in their bellies. And Nate, in particular, I sat next to Nate from my first days here, and I don't know how well kept a secret it is that we shared chocolate for many years. So I think that he got married so that he could have it at that that place with the whole case of chocolate. So anyway, I will miss Nate, and I agree. I think that there'd be a place for him in the city, and I think that there'd be a place for Nate on any one of a number of our county committees, and the many talents that he brought to us. And I also welcome our new members. Elections by their very nature, there's, you know, a contested election, there's a loser, and it isn't easy to put yourself out there. It isn't easy to run, whether you're the winner or the loser. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of work serving. So I want to thank the people who ran, not just for our body, but for bodies throughout Tompkins County, and to thank the voters who came out. My own ward had no contested race, but we, you know, many, many districts throughout the county with no contested races had hundreds, probably total thousands of people who came out to vote nonetheless and exercise our rights and obligations to keep a democracy going. And it's important, and I'm proud to represent that. So, welcome.
Anyone else? Julie Kiefer.
I'll just share a factoid I heard on the radio as I was driving down to this meeting. Facebook is now worth more in the marketplace than GE. $308 billion? God.
Oh, my goodness gracious me.
Do we like that?
Not sure.
Anyone else?
I wish I'd been in.
All right, let's move on. Got a lot of work to do for the committees tonight, so there won't be any report from the chair, but I do have some chairs. No, I don't have any chairs appointments. They're advisory board appointments, so we'll move right on. We'll ask for a report from our county administrator, Joe Mariana.
Thanks, Mike. I have three very quick updates tonight. I saw in this morning's paper the city council has approved the resolution regarding police consolidation and going after some state study money for that. We have made contact with the Department of State. We have the names of folks there that we are dealing with. So if you were to approve that resolution tonight, we do have some contacts there that we will pursue as we explore funding. And also, Paula will be attending a State Department of State meeting on November 17th, which they're calling their Local Innovation Conference, which also may give us insights into how they plan to spend money that's available for these kinds of studies and undertakings. The assigned counsel program, the supervising attorney search, continues. We expect to have interviews with at least four candidates toward the latter part of November. Should be able to bring that to a decision sometime in early December, so that is proceeding forward. And the last item on my list, the Energize New York Initiative. We met with the executive director today who was in town. He was at Cornell speaking to a group of cooperative extension representatives. We're getting really close to a kickoff of Energize New York, beginning with a contractors education meeting to explain to contractors how they can access this program, which is low-cost, long-term financing for energy-related improvements. And that will be followed by a kickoff to the community, which will include, we hope, a number of people who may have an interest in drawing this money. We think, as all of you know, because you approved it some time ago, this could be a really powerful tool to help the cause of energy conservation. So that is moving forward toward implementation again with a couple of events in December to kick everything off. And that's my report.
Questions for Joe. Martha?
Thanks, Joe. Looking forward to the, you know, really seeing the Energize New York stuff get going. Can we if one of us, or you or somebody on staff, is going to be the spokesperson, or is it going to be Joe Del Sindaco?
At these events?
Yeah.
It's probably going to be Joe Del Sindaco or the executive director, whose name is Mark Thalking.
Okay. Can I ask that they set up a time to meet with the Landlords Association?
Well, I'm in contact with them. I know we would like them to be among the groups that helps distribute information about this for the kickoff. And we talked today about maybe a special meeting with them while the group is in town for the general kickoff. Absolutely.
Because they, as we've talked many times, there's that disconnect. And if landlords could be persuaded to make improvements, even if they're not actually paying the bills, if there's a way to reorganize their, mm-hmm. I don't know, if it requires reorganizing payments to land, that, you know, from tenants, I think it's really important.
Thanks. Anything else? All right, let's go to County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I do not have a report.
All right, questions? Rick, you're up. Director of Finance, Rick Snyder.
And I do not have a report either.
Boy, we're saying this is going to be a long, long meeting. Maybe it won't be.
Just jinxed it.
Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Not seeing any? Let's move to the consent agenda. I have appointments from the advisory boards. Out of the Government Operations Committee to the Air Services Board, Jennifer Tavares. Mm-hmm. To the Health and Human out of the Health and Human Services Committee to the Human Rights Commission, Artemis Tapliga and Tracy Salt.
Chair.
Off.
Chair?
Yes.
We did not recommend that.
No.
We postponed it.
We postponed it.
The human rights appointments?
Yes.
All right, then we won't vote on those tonight. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Out of the Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee, to the Tompkins County Consolidated Area Transit Board of Directors, Dan Klein as the legislator position. Out of the from Municipal Recommendation, we have to the Environmental Management Council, William Evans of the Town of Danby. We have some resolutions. If anyone wants them off, just say so, and we'll bring them up during the committee discussions. Resolution A, authorization to accept Homeland Security Grant, Department of Energy. Authorization to accept Homeland Security Grant, Department of Emergency Response, ID 5918. Out of Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Resolution B, authorization to execute a contract with CNS Engineers for Design Services, Ellis Hollow Road Improvement, Pine Tree Road to Game Farm Road, Town of Ithaca. That's ID 5888. Resolution C, authorization to execute funding agreement with New York State Department of Transportation, Ellis Hollow Road Improvements, Pine Tree Road to Game Farm Road, Town of Ithaca, ID 5889. Resolution D, authorization to execute a supplemental agreement with Barton and LeJudis for construction support and inspection services, Pine Tree Road Bike and Pedestrian Paths Project, Town of Ithaca, ID 5890. Got a lot more yet, don't we? And out of the Government Operations Committee, Resolutions E, authorization to accept a grant from the State Archives for the County Clerk, ID 5844. Resolution F, correction of taxes, Ithaca City School District, ID 5909. Resolution G, return school taxes, ID 5881. Resolution H, return village taxes, ID 5880. Resolution I, adoption of apportionment of taxes for 2016, ID 5882. Resolution J, authorizing acceptance of a New York State grant to purchase an aircraft rescue and firefighting truck, protective gear, and firefighting equipment, and rehabilitating runway construction. Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport, that's ID 5921. Resolution K, audit of final payment of New York State Fence Company, Inc. for security perimeter fence improvements, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport, ID 5922. Resolution L, budget adjustment, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport, ID 5923. From the Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution M, authorizing 2015 Federal Transit Administration Section 5307 grant application for Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit and Tompkins County. That's ID 5910. Resolution N, scheduling a public hearing for the grant administration.
Yeah, I have to take that off.
All right. Resolution O, budget adjustment to appropriate funds for the Tompkins County Housing Needs Assessment. That's ID 5931. Resolution P, scheduling a public hearing. Resolution P is off. Resolution Q, budget adjustment for grant from the United States Department of Transportation Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration to conduct a high hazard pipeline inventory, ID 5887. Is there a motion on the consent agenda by Will Burbank, seconded by Peter Stein? Any discussion? All in favor of the consent agenda, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous. I will go to standing committees and special committees. Old Library Committee first up tonight, and there's been no meeting and nothing to discuss there.
Cool question, Mike.
Yes.
So, this is raised, but what's your sense in terms of the timing when we might be hearing something? Do we know any more yet?
Well, I think it's dependent on the city process at this point. I know that the preferred developer has gone to the city with plans and has been making adjustments in discussions with the city. In our original schedule, we were hoping to close on the sale in January, but I think the planning department is thinking it's probably going to be a month or two later than that.
Thank you.
Anything else on Old Library? Let's go to Public Safety Committee. James Dennis is the vice chair, acting chair.
Thank you very much, Michael. I want to go right to the agenda and the resolution. It's Resolution R, authorizing the joint development of a grant application request for a proposal to study the consolidation of city and county law enforcement agencies. And I would move that.
Seconded by Martha Robertson. Discussion?
A couple comments. I'm sorry Faye is gone, but she kind of framed it really well and going slow. And frankly, what we are doing right now is applying for grant money from New York State. Andrew Cuomo has talked about money that is available to look at consolidation studies, and we are putting our foot in that water, I guess it's toe, but in that water to see if we can qualify and get some of that money to take a look at a feasibility study to do just as this resolution talks about. We have many police agencies in the county, and we are not Right now we're talking about the city and the county, but we invite any other organization, law enforcement organization, who wants to be involved in this as the process moves forward. Clearly, I am assuming that other people, other organizations will want to be involved. So,
Mike Sigler.
I'm going to vote against this because, I mean, while it's great that we're going slow, sometimes I don't think you should go at all. I don't see any scenario where this benefits my town, to be honest with you. I know it's just a study, you know, but I don't know. Why study something that I'm not going to – I can't foresee any reason that Lansing would say, yeah, this is a good idea. I think, though, that the city, there is some low-hanging fruit. I just read an article about Elmira. They are actually – teaming with their county, they're consolidating their finance department. I think that's a lot less, I think that's lower hanging fruit than consolidating police departments. That's about it. Thanks.
Martha?
Well, on the county, we tend to try to look at things from a broader perspective of what's good for the whole county. I think there may be opportunities here that will improve our operations as well, in the sense of we've actually talked about an appointed sheriff over the years, off and on, and there might be advantages to a consolidation that includes whether it's a commissioner or whatever the title is, an official that's at the top of law enforcement who's not just the person with the best campaign and the most, name recognition, but somebody who's got professional qualifications that goes through a hiring process. So I think there are some advantages. I'm not saying, yes, I'm down for that. I'm saying that's one of the possible issues that would come up in this restructuring, and I think it's something that is, that could be of benefit for the county's law enforcement and for the people of the county. So, I hope that this will pass anyway, but I hope you'll think about it in more broad terms than just whether it's good for your individual town.
Gould Kiefer and Peter Stein.
I will be voting against this, not because I'm against studies, but because I am much more interested in what has been talked about at the county level off and on for a long time, which is seeing if it makes sense for the county to have a professional Department of Public Safety, not headed by an elected official, but by a professional with a job description. And the way this resolution is written does not lend itself to that approach, and that's what I'm interested in. So I'll be voting against this, and I guess I'd like the minutes to reflect why.
I have Peter next.
I've often said I have a belief that there are far too many different governments in this small area of 100,000 people. And I think that I think that we would be better off with fewer governments and fewer governments providing the necessary service. And I understand that people have a lot of personal feelings towards their public, towards their police department, to their school, and so forth. I believe that that's a step, that's a mistake that they make. And I'm always in favor of looking for ways that combine these governments and turn them into a single government to do the job that we need doing.
Okay, I've got, let's see, who hasn't spoken? I haven't heard from Carol or Jim. I'm going to put myself on the list, and Martha wants to speak again.
So I do support this. I think that, did you call on me?
Yeah, you're on. Carol.
I am on now. Okay, thank you. I do support this. I think it's worth studying. I have a question for Dooley in your reference. What do you see in here that would preclude
the absence of the mention of that as a separate possibility. That's what I see. So,
okay, you don't see that included in the the look at the possible consolidation of further shared services between the police department and the sheriff's office and the resolves that, okay, because can anybody correct me if I'm wrong that that would be a possibility that could come out of this study? Is there anything in here, Jim, do you know that would preclude?
May I answer?
That is an...
Yes, Jim, why don't you answer?
I don't think what we're suggesting in this is to talk about the county charter being changed at all. I think if there's a feeling among legislators that we want to have an appointed law enforcement person, that's something we could do that whether we had a study or not for consolidation. Clearly, that would be something that I would hope that some committee of the ledge would take up as this study is moving along. And because if you arrive at a point where you want to appoint a person, then you ought to be able to have the ability to do that. And the county, again, the county would have to change that. So if there's that desire, I think some committee should take it up and move it forward. That's all.
I had myself next, and that is simply that, Julie, I'm coming at it just the opposite. I think I'd like to get where you are, too. The things we've talked about, for example, a county police department or something like that. I think this is the way to go, not to vote against it, but to vote for this resolution, to get this money so we can begin the study. Change is hard, and I can't think of anything that's going to be any harder than to study the police departments for possible consolidation of services. We aren't the first community to go down that path and find how hard it is. But, you know, we're a special kind of a county here. We take on tough things. Win or lose, we take them on, and we try to do the kind of study that takes time and considers all the players and all of the various ways of viewing these kind of things and to try to come to the best decision we can. And I just think it's, and the reason I support this is because it's time. I really want to, and I really hope that other police departments, other municipalities say, I'm in for the study, at least, so that we can try to bring in the idea of a larger unit to be caring for our police services. What we have now is a lot of people like it, but it's terribly expensive. It's terribly administrative heavy from department to department to department. And it's time to take a look at, see if there's a better way of doing it. And, Dooley, I think that's one of the better ways of doing it that we need to look at. I had next, Leslin.
Mr. Chair, let me reiterate Faye Gugagas' words. We need to tread very carefully. Again, at our last meeting, we talked about this, and I'm sitting around the table, and I'm hearing what almost sounds like a done deal when we start talking about what's not working now, what's terribly expensive, and it's about time we do something different, begins to suggest to the public that we've already made up our minds that we're doing something different. If we're studying, that would include Dooley's proposal. If we're studying, that would include what Martha suggested. If we're studying, it could include any number of things, not just any one idea that's being driven and forced because that is what somebody thinks that we should be doing. So please, let's tread carefully with what it is that we're saying we're doing. We are studying this. And any number of scenarios can come out of it, not any one thing. And the language around the table tonight is making me nervous that we have already sort of made up our minds about what we're doing. That's how it comes across, just my opinion. And again, I have a public out there who has concern about this.
And so we need to be treading carefully and choosing our language extremely carefully about what it is that we are doing.
Martha?
Well, I'm on the Public Safety Committee, so I was part of this discussion. If there's some code or secret plan, I haven't heard about it.
Martha, there doesn't have to be a code.
No, I'm just saying. The language in here is so open-ended. It just says comprehensive analysis of the feasibility. And I think it should address both these concerns. And now, individuals may have their own strong opinions about what should happen. You know, I think we may hear some of that. And I don't think we can tell individuals that they shouldn't have strong opinions. I think this is what we should do. As a body, there's no drift, there's no plan, there's no agenda. The plan is to study it and to solicit all sorts of voices, to look for data, to look for examples in other communities, to hear all the different voices and stakeholders who are involved. Dooley, I think it honestly, if we put anything more specific in it, then it would be a signal to some people that this is what we were going to do, that says we're going to, you know, we are looking to appoint a commissioner or, you know, an appointed official. What I said to Mike at the beginning was it's one option. It's one of the models that's been accomplished in other places. And if we didn't do a study like this and just, you know, try to make something happen, then people should be concerned. The whole point of this is to find out what's out there and go through a process that helps us figure out what we think is the best.
Are we ready to vote? Dooley?
The way it is phrased includes the city and the county, and as Jim said, maybe there's some other smaller police agencies who want to jump on board, they could. But it's specific to the city and the county. What I said I was interested in pursuing would definitely not include the city. It would be a look at a countywide department. The city may decide at some point that they would like to dissolve and be represented at the county level, but it would be specific to the county. And that's what I think is precluded by the broad language that is in here, which is city and city plus county. So I don't want to make a big deal about it, but I'm voting no for that reason.
Okay. Well, ready to vote? All those in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Those opposed? 2 opposed. Thank you.
Let me just say our next meeting is December 21st, and November. I don't know. When is it? It's not my committee. When is the next meeting?
November 16th.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We also have a meeting scheduled November 19th about Ban the Box. I've asked anybody who from other agencies, Shelley Michelle Nunn, a couple of department heads, some of our people and personnel, and we're going to have a discussion of this issue on November 19th. I welcome anybody who Martha and I are kind of on the subcommittee that I put together, but anybody else who wants to come to the meeting, please come to the meeting. But it's not a meeting; it's not an official meeting of the Public Safety Committee. So. Sort of a study.
Where?
November 19th.
1:30.
Is that what time it is?
Yeah, I don't know what, where, Joe, is it?
Yep, here, probably.
But do you remember where? We don't know. Okay.
Can I just ask that a notice be sent out to
the
committee members?
We definitely will.
Everybody?
Other than that, I have no report, and I promise I will... no further report. I will know the correct meeting for the December, correct date for the December meeting. I apologize for that.
Any other questions for Jim? Thank you, Jim. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean Claiborne is the chair.
Mike, we have staff waiting for the planning resolutions. Megan.
We do?
Megan.
Ah, Megan's over there. Okay, well.
Mine will be quick, Mr. Chair.
Let's take your report, and then I'll move to planning.
Mine will be very quick. We're in the process of Workforce Diversity and Inclusion. George is gone. We received a two-year capacity-building grant money from the Community Foundation, which was used for our reading and discussion program that has been quite successful, and we're currently in the process of just writing our grant report on the program, and hopefully at some point looking for additional funding to continue that program. That's my report.
Questions for Leslie? Thank you, Leslie.
You're welcome.
All right. I've been asked to move up Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee. Dooley Kiefer is the chair.
I will go right to the resolutions. Well, two of them were pulled. I guess I better
N and P have been pulled.
I will do N first, Resolution N, Document 5902, scheduling a public hearing for the grant administration of the New York State Community Development Block Grant Award for Tompkins County Healthy Homes Rehabilitation Program.
Is there a second?
11.
Seconded by Martha. Who pulled them? Carol?
I just pulled it because I need to recuse myself from the vote. Sorry. Okay. I actually am not sure whether I really need to on this one because it's scheduling a public hearing, but there's really only one applicant.
We'll
so
allow you to recuse.
I do that.
You're recused.
Okay. Anything else on that? So ready to vote. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous except one abstention.
Was it seconded?
Yeah.
By Martha.
Martha seconded.
I missed it. You were so quick. Okay. Resolution P, Document 5903. Scheduling a public hearing for the grant administration of the New York State Community Development Block Grant Award for the Tompkins County Homeownership Program 10. And I move it.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dave McKenna.
I pulled this for the same reason because of Paul. I didn't pull, I'll note that I didn't pull O because INHS is giving us money on that one rather than us giving them money. No, I want to tout that because they came to us and volunteered to make a contribution, and we didn't see, for our housing needs assessment study, and we didn't see that from any private developers. So I appreciate that, and I stayed on the consent agenda.
All those in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous, but for one abstention.
Well, I guess I'll take them in alphabetical order. The first one is Resolution T, affirming Resolution T, Document 5906, affirming Ithaca Tompkins County Transportation Council recommendation to increase the staff director's salary, and I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Martha. Discussion? Short form roll call, please.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Is there anyone who wants to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
Yes, we're very lucky to have Fernando. He's a wonderful director. So the next resolution is U, negative declaration for authorizing disbursement of the Housing Fund Award for 210 Hancock Street redevelopment, Document 5904. I move it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Leslie. Discussion. Carol?
I have to recuse myself because it's such an active organization.
All right. Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous, but for one abstention.
Resolution V, Document 5905. Authorization to disperse county funds to the housing fund for the 210 Hancock Street redevelopment, and I move that.
Seconded by Leslin again.
I guess I ought to ask Megan if she would like to talk about any of these.
Can I just catch Carol first? Carol, are you going to recuse?
Yeah, same.
All right, thank you.
Issue.
Megan?
I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any, but I don't want to extend the length of your meeting. If not,
get it, Megan.
you've got any questions regarding it.
I guess we're ready to vote.
Okay.
Thank you, Megan. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? Unanimous, but for what? I'm sorry, was that an opposed, Julie?
Pardon me?
You weren't opposed, were you?
No, no.
You were slow putting your hand down. Again.
Yes, I am.
Unanimous, but for one abstention. W?
Oh, I don't see W. There it is. Authorizing a public hearing on proposed local law number D of 2015, a local law prohibiting the sale of personal care products containing microbeads in Tompkins County.
Seconded by Dan Klein. Discussion. This is scheduling a public hearing.
Yes.
Ready, Martha?
Well, I hope we get people come to the public hearing. We had at the committee meeting there were about five young people from the Plastic Tides group. It was a recent Cornell graduate and four high school students and a middle school student, if I remember correctly. And they really were well versed on this, and I think. And I hope they come to the public hearing.
Yes.
Carol?
We also had some discussion at committee about whether on this one it would make sense to try to vote on the same night that we have the public hearing or not. Sometimes we separate those and sometimes we don't. I don't remember where that ended up or whether we have a recommendation, because if we do get this group of young people, and there's always the option to pull it, but if we do get an active group of people and not a lot of objection, I'd be in favor of just going ahead and voting on it.
So that they can see the fruits of their work. I guess it would be up to the legislature after the hearing. We'll see where folks want to go at that point. Well?
It will be on the agenda, and whether we decide to vote or not is up to us that night.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well,
so I'm thankful the committee took this up. I certainly would support it. I did note that we did get at least one letter from an industry trade group in opposition, basically arguing that it should not be done on a county-by-county basis, and that they found that problematic. In the committee's discussion, was there any sense of whether the state was poised to do something, or do we have any way of knowing?
Well, the Attorney General, I'm pretty sure, will have a legislation introduced in the next session again. The legislation that was introduced this last time around was unfortunately undercut by our local state senator's version, which wanted to postpone implementation of any controls for quite a few years so that the industry would have time to adjust. Various large players already have said they're removing microbeads from their products. So I think it's fine for us to go ahead. I'm sure the Attorney General will make sure something happens statewide next year. But the more counties who weigh in on the topic, the better for helping that along, too. This has nothing to do with whether this law should be passed or whether we should have a hearing, but I was at physical therapy today. And my previous session there, I had told the young woman helping me about the microbeads law, and she was fascinated by it. And she went home, she said today, I went home, I looked at what I use. They have microbeads. What should I do with them? Is it better to use them up? If I put them in the garbage, they'll just go in the landfill, and then they'll eventually leak out anyway. And I thought that was a nice example of community interest. So,
Dan Klein.
Concerning the issue of whether the state's going to have regulations or not, our draft law contains, I call it an extinction clause. It's not really what it's called, but in our law it says
reversion.
If the state, reversion clause, mm-hmm. If the state passes a law that's similar enough to ours, then we will vote ours away and it'll disappear.
Thank you.
We will have the opportunity to decide if it's like, if ours is distinct enough or whether it should be done away with. Yeah, it's not automatic.
Jim Dennis, then Peter Stein.
I realize it's only a public hearing, but if it passes, what happens then? Who enforces it? Do we send the public health department out to all the stores and demand they take these things off, or what?
The draft indicates that weights and measures which is already
restored. Oh, it's him.
It's okay. Him.
That's we're going to have to add five people to the staff, I'm sure.
Well, fortunately, we have a lot of contingent fund money.
We have Peter, then Glenn, then Martha.
I have a question for Dooley, if that's okay. I thought,
in order.
I thought that landfills, today, landfills don't leak, that they're made in such a way that things can't leak from them. Isn't that correct?
Over geologic time, they will leak.
Okay.
All right. Glenn?
Dooley, I noticed that you just restricted to cosmetic products. Is marker beads part of other products out there?
Personal care products. Okay. Toothpaste is, I don't think of as cosmetic necessarily. Okay. But there is plastic out there from all kinds of things. This is a fairly easy one to get a handle on. The other example that I take very personally is polyester fleece, which is comfortable and warm and so forth, but every time you wash it, plastic fibers get torn off and enter the waterways, and they're every bit as bad as microbeads. So microbeads we can get a handle on.
Martha.
I note that this says that law shall become effective 180 days after filing with the Secretary of State. So that will give sellers, you know, drugstores, et cetera, time to be educated on this and to pull things off their shelves. I mean, I think some of the other laws we looked at were like immediately or 30 days or something like that. That seemed too short.
Mm-hmm.
We did talk in committee about kind of public education and effort to make sure people know what we're talking about. And I'm looking at Marcia. She always gets these jobs. So I think it's important that people understand what they could look for in their shampoo bottles, and I guess it was polypropylene and polyglycol or something. Those are two of the compounds that might be in the ingredients if you find those. So best, of course, if you can check before you buy something rather than have the decision what to do after you've got it.
Carol, then can we vote?
Yeah, I support this. To answer the question about Don Ellison, whether he has the capacity to oversee this, it's my understanding that we're not asking him to visit stores on any more frequent a schedule than he already does, that it would just be, you know, one more thing on the list and when he goes to all the stores anyway to check on their weights and measures.
He's supposed to check package weight and package ingredients. Does it contain what it says it does? So it fits into his job description.
Okay, I just would add that on weights and measures, that's an area that we really need to look at for additional staff because they do have consumer protection responsibility. Anyone else? Let's vote. All those in favor of scheduling the public hearing, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you.
Julie, is there a report?
Well, we'll have our regular meeting on the third Wednesday of this month at 3 o'clock. The agenda has not yet been set. I do know that there will be a 10-minute presentation from Cayuga Operating Company people dealing with concerns that have been raised locally about the status of the coal ash landfill at the site. And there may be, well, I shouldn't mention other subject matters, but we may have some other interesting topics which you will all hear about at the next legislature meeting.
A question. In our correspondence, in our red packets tonight, there's a list of a resolution where Tompkins County is being asked to do something. I just want to ask that be distributed to committee members. I assume that that's the right committee you'd be referring it to.
What resolution? Are you talking about the resolution?
The town of Ulysses requests right. that the Tompkins County Legislature.
Mm-hmm.
We all got that already.
Aren't they all in the red folders tonight?
Well, yes.
Oh, just the title.
Just
you want the
title.
Whole...
I'm
gotcha.
To see
all
what
right.
they
Maybe
passed.
Please see that that's done.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dooley.
Thank you.
Let's go back up to Health and Human Services Committee. Peter Stein chairs it.
Yes, Health and Human Services. It seems like I've been in a meeting all day long. Health and Human Service was a rather lengthy meeting.
Does that mean a short report tonight?
Right. And there were, I don't know, half a dozen things that we looked at. I think I'll select two of them to report on. The first was rather unusual. We got a request to have two people brought to the legislature to be on an advisory committee, and we deferred that one. I don't recall ever having done that before, but so be it. And the other was a lengthy discussion. There are two resolutions that are mutually exclusive. And one comes from the county administrator, and they have to do with the structure of the health department and the mental health department. At the moment, by I guess fiat of the county administrator, we never voted on that, right? The two are served by one person, and the county administrator sent us a resolution for discussion only, whereby that situation would be essentially extended for another 3 years, and then would be studied in the year following those other 3 years. A second resolution, which is of course contradictory to that, starts out by saying that we will reopen the search for a mental health commissioner. And I think any way you look at that makes those two resolutions contradictory. The resolution from the county administrator was for discussion only, so we didn't vote on that. The other was for action, and we voted on it. And it passed by a vote of 3-1, and I am the one person who voted against it. I think I won't start to try to describe the arguments that went on. Just let me report that. And I don't recall anything else that we did at the meeting that you would find particularly unusual or interesting. So our next meeting will be a month from today. At 3:30. Thank you.
Questions? We've got Jim, and then we've got Will.
Peter, will the 3-1 resolution be on the next agenda?
Agenda of what?
The ledge.
Legislature. The legislature, yes, I believe
yeah, okay.
it will be.
So
yes.
the next...
At the next legislature meeting, my understanding is that... Wait a second.
I'm seeing Will shake his head. He's,
so, Peter, I actually asked that question and actually suggested that it not be at the next meeting of the legislature specifically because there had been a proposal to have a joint committee of both Health and Human Services and the Budget and Personnel Committee to discuss this at greater length. And so it is, of course, at your discretion, but I think it's important that we all, as many people as possible, be part of that larger discussion. So,
but, ditto.
Yeah. And I had something else.
Go ahead, Will.
Peter, I thought of one other interesting thing that did come up at the committee meeting. We heard from Patricia Carey that there is a significant change in the SNAP, food stamps program, that's basically going to be instituting a work requirement for... Probably, she didn't know, maybe up to 1,500 people locally, but essentially that if you are not a mother, a pregnant woman, disabled, you essentially, in order to get food stamps, you will have to be doing work or a work-like activity. And that is going to be a significant change for a number of people.
Martha?
Well, that's interesting. I wonder who's going to get them the jobs. But can all of us be informed when the Budget and Personnel and HHS committees have that joint committee? Because
I can't hear you, Martha.
So I'm assuming it's a committee time when that doesn't exist now. You're going to find a time for the two committees? For the joint meeting.
Well, yeah, we have the regularly scheduled meeting, but I did hear that people were not going to be available for that, so I'm certainly open to whenever we can do it. I think it's an important issue, and we should all get together.
Right, I agree. So, I think it should be done as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Right, and I'm not saying that you should do a doodle poll that includes us, those of us not on the two committees. Make your decision on the time, but please tell the rest of us when that happens.
Yeah, that will happen.
And I hope that the alternate resolution can also be in the committee's agenda at that time.
That's the expectation.
Thanks.
Leslie, did you have a hand?
I pass.
Okay. Dooley, was your hand?
No.
Okay. Then I think we can move on to the next committee. Thank you, Peter, for your report. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Dave McKenna is the chair there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. F&I has not met since the last legislature meeting. We will be meeting on Monday, November 9th at 3:30 in East Chambers. And that's my report.
Questions? Carol.
Can I just ask the section of Ellis Hollow Road that was in the consent agenda tonight, is that the section that was the Cornell section? Or
it's the non-Cornell
section. No.
The non-Cornell. So we're not proceeding with that one. Thank you.
That's because they weren't able to come up with the money they had talked about putting into the project at that point. Is that right, Dave?
That's correct.
It's very striking when you drive down that road, the difference in those sections.
Maybe next year.
Other questions for Dave? Thank you, David. Economic Development Committee, Martha Robertson chairs it.
Thank you, Mike. We met on Monday and had a couple of good discussions. Another discussion from Sue Dale Hall and Darcy Herman Raponi from the Child Development Council. They were talking about changes in the federal policies coming up to be implemented in 2016 that will have a very, very significant effect on child care providers. In the interest of quality, there are a lot more stringent requirements and clearly no help in enabling providers to meet those requirements. Also, no additional support for, say, agencies like the Child Care Council to help providers either. Sue also talked about what we're looking at in the city. There's only within the city of Ithaca, even though most people in the city work in the county, work in the city, and in the city limits. There's only the Head Start near Tompkins Community Action. There's a Montessori program, and there's the Downtown Ithaca Children's Center, and a handful of family daycare homes. That's the entire universe of childcare that's within the city. So I actually took this to the city's economic development meeting. Ed Marks and I go, along with Martha Armstrong from TCAD, and Will used to go to these two. Go to they have economic development meetings, and we go once a month. So I raised this with the city, sent them the article that Tom Knipe had given our committee about the smart growth kind of planning issues involved with family-friendly communities, and they're very interested. So I'm hoping we're going to see some movement, perhaps with the CTAP program, perhaps in other ways that they might take that on. We approved some tourism grants that will come to the next legislature meeting. We also had a report from Helen Beach from Finance talking about Airbnb, and there's a number of gray areas in the legislation that was I guess about 10 years old, sort of legislation about where room tax is collected from whom. And she and the tourism folks are, I think, going to sit down and work on proposals on how to tighten up that law. And I'm not clear, yes, if that was going to go to GO. Can you remember, was she thinking it should go to GO, Rick? Or not through...
Need to use your microphone, Rick, please.
I know that Jonathan and Tom Knight and myself and Helen still have to meet to try to put a plan together on how to get it back to you, but I would imagine it will probably come back to GO at some point.
Okay. That seems to make sense, but it was good for us to have some conversation about the issue. And Airbnb is not the only one of these platforms. Right now they've got 34 registered Airbnb locations in the county. But altogether, there's something like 158 registered hospitality sites with of 10 rooms or fewer. So there's a mix there. So anyway, our next meeting is December 7th. We will be, I hope, going to the to have a meeting at the Rev at the incubator. I think probably we were thinking of doing it in December. It might be something that we would carry over to January. I mean, usually we have our one more committee meeting in the month of January before we get reorganized, and I think their renovations might be readier for us in January than December. So,
questions, Carol?
Yeah, I have a question about whether there was any discussion in the committee about the unusual situation that this community has with people who don't rent their homes regularly but do so only for the Cornell graduation weekend.
That's one of the areas that is felt to be that they need to look at again, because the law just says something about regular, and it doesn't say, you know, do you regularly open your home for rental. So it doesn't define regular. If you do it every year, once a year, that's regularly once a year. So that's the kind of thing. So, or do they mean once a week, or do they mean once a month, or whatever? So, I mean, that's the policy issue, that one of the policy issues that's going to be raised.
Okay. Well, in the past, we had a written guideline as to the number of nights beyond which you needed to worry about this. The IRS has a written guideline as well that was a different amount than ours. And the other issue that I'm aware of is that there are people who collect money. Actually, I don't know if it's the people collect money, but there are organizations in town who have people rent out their homes, and the organization collects the money, like the Cayuga Chamber Orchestra, I believe. I don't know if they still do this or not. So it's a unique situation that's different than people who do this, have a regular business. And it's at some point, I'm not sure when, I know it was in between the time I got elected to office and checked, that it was 2 weeks in writing. And then it went to something like more than four nights, and that was in writing. And now there's no number of nights in writing anywhere. It wasn't in our law, but it was in written guidelines. So it's, you know, you might be able to dig up those past records of how we worded that in the past. Anyway, I'm glad that there's a committee looking into this.
Yeah, I'm as well. And it certainly makes sense to take a GO, but I think I would also hope it would come back to economic development, because there is an impact. I mean, this whole thing is related to tourism. So.
Very good. Martha, thank you. Let's go to Government Operations. Dan Klein, chairs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to start with moving Resolution S, Budget Adjustment and Appropriation from Contingent Fund, Central Translation Services Contract, County Administration.
Is there a second? Dave McKenna. Discussion. Ready to vote? Those in favor, please raise your hand. Oh, we need a short-form roll call, I'm told.
Mrs. McBean-Clairborn?
Yes.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Anyone want to be recorded as voting no? That's unanimous.
I forgot to ask a question. It wouldn't change the vote. I was just wondering which languages we have the most call for translating. Joe would know.
I don't know, but I can. I'm sure we can get it, if that's interesting. Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead. Do you have any report, Dan?
I do, thank you. Yes. So we had our first look at the drone law, the draft drone law for the county, and we took no action on it. We heard from Ed Marks, our county planning head, department head, about the piece of land that we usually call the Biggs parcel. Ed's written up a memo that maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't, talking about the different options that have been looked at for what to do with that piece of land. And his conclusion, his recommendation, is that we should sell it on the open market. So we had a number of residents that live near the parcel come to the meeting and talk with us. And where we sort of left it was that they were going to meet and see if they could come up with some proposal, possibly as a group, possibly as individuals, for that parcel that the county might find a good appropriate use. And they'll come back to us next month with a report about what they've found, and we will take that information and proceed from there. The other item that we talked about was the blue cards, the rules that we use for privilege of the floor for members of the public. Specifically, we were looking at the item that has to do with the 3 minutes, and we were trying to clarify whether that rule means that someone can hand off their unused time to someone else or not. In other words, you get 3 minutes and no more, or can someone give you some of their time? We did not take any action on that. I expect that we will be looking at that in next meeting, so that if any of you do have an opinion about that, please make it known to us before that meeting. And that meeting is Tuesday, November 24th at 3:30. And that's my report.
Questions? I have Peter.
I have an opinion that you can't do.
Use your microphone, please.
You can neither give nor sell your remaining time, okay? That's my opinion.
Jim Dennis, then Martha.
Dan, I may have been behind on this. Is the land at the hospital currently on the market?
It is not currently on the market. Ed's recommendation is that we should put it on the market, and we haven't made a decision on that, and we're just giving a little more time to the residents to see if they have basically an offer to give us.
Was there discussion about the price of land, the appraised value of the land, or any of that?
No, so the last appraisal we had is from 2009.
Right.
And conditions have changed since that time, too, so the appraisal and probably the assessed value are going to be different. We don't know what that is yet.
Are we going to do another one?
I'm not sure how that process is going to happen. I assume at some point that would have to happen if we're going to put it on the market.
Martha?
Do you know what the 2009 appraisal was?
About $375,000, right?
It was in the mid-threes, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's before the wetlands were redelineated, too, which is going to affect value.
Well, that makes it more valuable, right?
That's right.
Waterfront.
It's a water feature.
Absolutely.
Okay. I hope we don't get into a delay. This is an asset that we need to move, you know. On the blue cards, I seem to remember last time GO dealt with this, it didn't actually come to the full legislature. Is that right?
That's correct.
Is that the plan?
I have not been able to get clarification of whether it is a rule that applies to this specific thing. So in the meantime, if we do decide to make a change on it, we'll make that change, and then the legislature can act or not act.
What we did last time, and I think Nathan was chairing that committee when he was investigating it, was that they sent a recommendation to me as the chair, and I implemented their recommendation.
So,
but why it didn't have to go through the legislature was not clear. Other than that, we were spending an awful lot of time talking about little details, and it seemed easier to hand it off to GO.
Okay, right. Talking about details has never kept us from considering anything before.
That's right.
So I guess I know it's not a monumental policy decision, but all right. I don't know. I'm not saying it has to come here. But you said November 24th. When is what time?
It's at 3:30 right here in this room. Martha, two things I could say. One is that I don't feel qualified to make the decision about who gets to decide. So we will make our decision one way or the other, and then if it turns out that the legislature needs to weigh in, then they will, then we will. And the other thing I want to say, you talked about a delay in the sale of that property. You know, I specifically asked Ed Marks about that, and he, you know, a short delay, a month, two, you know, 3 months, that's not a big problem. Long-term delay would be a different ballgame. So I'm not interested in the long-term delay as well. But we have a little bit of time. There's no immediate rush to do this.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan. Charter Review Committee did meet this week, and we continued discussion about the vacancy provision in the charter because that had come up in the media recently because of the special elections. We reviewed the charter sections, and we reviewed the qualifications required to be a legislator as well, because that had the parts in there about where you have to reside. After the discussion, there was not any sentiment on the committee's part to change any of those items in the charter. So, that to me, that means it'll be coming forward with the existing language in the charter when the charter is brought forward to this legislature. Will?
Mike, what options for change existed?
Well, we could go to such a thing as to have this legislature appoint to fill a vacancy. This is something that some counties do when there's a vacancy on their legislature. The rest of the legislators appoint. Going back to when we originally set it up to be filled by a vote of the people, we looked at that and we said, would it be fair for all of the other legislators, none of whom is elected by the residents of the district involved, to decide who was going to be representing the people in that district? We didn't think that that was such a good idea. The other thing you could do is go back to what we had previously after the original charter was adopted, where the town boards of the various towns that have districts in them would get together and appoint someone to the legislature. And in the case of the city, it would be from the city council. We saw a lot of issues with that a number of years ago. Would still be issues, for example, where you have districts that are larger than a single municipality and cross boundaries. Glenn's district is one we always pointed to back there because it actually covers, it's in three different municipalities, the town of Lansing, the town of Groton, and the town of Dryden. Most of the population is in the town of Groton, but theoretically, on the old system, you could have the town board in the town of Dryden and the town board in the town of Lansing outvoting the town board in the town of Groton, so we didn't think that was such a great idea. What we have now is a system where the voters decide, voters in the district.
So neither of those two alternatives to me would be as good as what we have, but I still would hope that we could do better than what we have.
Well, I understand
we are constrained by state law, but is there, what would it take, for example, to build in a primary?
We have asked the county attorney to look at the state law on that and advise us. One of the suggestions was, could we add some days to the 75? Dan suggested that. Could we go to 90 days, for example? Are we constrained by what the state election law has to say? And the county attorney was given a month to come back to us and report and give us any options that might be along that line. But I don't, and Jonathan, you can speak to this better than I, but I don't think the state election law would give us the option of inserting a primary.
Yeah, I mean, basically we talked about changing the time frames. But I really have to work both with the law and the Board of Elections to see whether that would do anybody any good. you know, so you change something from 75 to 90 days. Is that really going to make any difference? Might help the Board of Elections, give them a little more time, but is it going to help the public give them any benefit? So, you know, we'll look into that and we'll report back to the Charter Committee.
Well, and again, I guess I would appreciate looking into the possibility of a primary. It's not immediately obvious why that would be perceived by the state to be a bad thing, but other than just in the step, but.
Right. Well, as you know, state election was not always.
We could just hear you down, John. Could you try to use a mic a little more?
Sure. State election law is somewhat archaic, as you probably know.
Yeah, I think I've noticed that.
Okay. So that's the issue.
Yeah.
And, of course, the theory with a special election is to try to fill that vacancy fairly quickly so that the people are not without representation in that district. Anything else I can answer? We'll go to Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee. Jim Dennis is the chair.
Thank you. Excuse me. We have one item. It's X. And it is a 2015 budget appropriation and adjustments for wage and other negotiated increases. Civil Service Employees Association, Inc., Local 1000, AFSCME, FLCIO, Tompkins County, Blue Collar Unit. And I will move that.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn Morey. Discussion. Jim?
This is money that we have had in the budget, in an account just to do these sorts of things as we settled the contract. So what we're doing now is removing the money from our budget item and plugging it into the contracts so the employees get what they deserve from the words in the contract. So.
Ready to vote? Those in favor, please. Raise your hand. Those opposed? That is unanimous.
A couple of things. November 10th, 7 p.m., public hearing is here in the building on the 2016 budget. We're in the tentative budget now, with public hearing on the tentative. Hopefully we would vote at the second meeting in November on the complete 2016 budget. I remind you that we are open for changes, I believe, right up until the last moment. So, you know, keep that in mind if there are anyone who has anything they want to do. Our next meeting is the 23rd of November, and I will await with open arms when we're going to have that combination meeting between BCP and Health and Human Services. And that's my report. Thank you very much.
Questions? Thank you, Jim. I'm being totally amazed tonight. This
well,
group.
We're trying not to embarrass ourselves in front of our new members.
Oh, is that it? We're glad you're here. Carol.
Company. I have a question that I'm not sure what committee it fit under. I ran into a private developer today who said that they had seen on our procurement site an RFP for the a developer for the business park north of the airport. Is that something that's is new or?
I think I know. I think this is initiated
so what's
by
the process for deciding about that.
I think this is the grant supported project that is being sponsored by the planning department to look at a feasibility study for the development of that parcel we own near the airport that we've often talked about as an industrial park site. And I think this is the feasibility study for that.
Okay.
It's not the
We're
development
not
of.
Proceeding to, de- it's, to pick a developer.
That's my understanding. I will double check first thing in the morning.
And let me know if that's not
think,
true.
I think
Thank
right.
you.
Yep.
All right. Can we take the minutes of October 20th?
Yes, I will.
So moved by Leslin and seconded by Glenn Morey. Discussion? All those in favor, please raise your hand. All those opposed? We have one opposed. Any unfinished business? Motion for to adjourn is in order.
Chair, if you call for one more thing, move.
Moved by Leslin, seconded by...
It's amazing.
Glenn, all in favor, opposed, carried.
It's so early.
We are adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.